We're going to have the first of our readings now from God's Word. In a short time, Alan's going to come and read to us from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. But first, we're going to read from the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 18, we hear something of the duties of the Old Testament priests and Levites. And we get some kind of idea of how great a hurdle, a barrier there is to people like me and you to come into the presence, to approach the living God. God graciously sought to deal with that in shadow and type in the Old Testament by giving his people a priesthood, a role that the Lord Jesus Christ has now fulfilled. But just hear these words as we read them this morning from Numbers chapter 18, and we'll read the first seven verses. This is the word of the Lord. So the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. And with you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons with you before the tent of the testimony. They shall keep guard over you and over the whole tent, but shall not come near to the vessels of the sanctuary or to the altar, lest they and you die. They shall join you and keep guard over the tent of meeting for all the service of the tent, and no outsider shall come near you. And you shall keep guard over the sanctuary and over the altar, that there may never again be wrath on the people of Israel. And behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel. They are a gift to you, given to the Lord to do the service of the tent of a meeting. And you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar, and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood as a gift, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death." So reads that part of God's holy and true word. It's great to have Alan with us. I'm going to ask him to come up and to read God's word for us and then to preach. Thanks, Alan. Great to have you and the family with us.
Morning. As I said last week, I was preaching last week at Emmanuel, and as I said there, the only reason I accept to preach is so I get to have half an hour without a face mask on, which is quite nice. As it happens, I was thinking about this. back in March, I was a guest preacher at St. Peter's in Harold Hill, Harold Woods, and then a week later we went into lockdown, and now I'm a guest preacher here. I think it's a coincidence, but hey, you can make your own mind up. Let's read God's word together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19-25. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, the word of God. We thank you that you speak to us through Scripture. You take your word and you apply it to our hearts and lives by your Spirit. And for those who are not yet your people, you call them to turn and trust in this great Son, this great Saviour. Please help us to understand what you say. Please may it strengthen our faith in Jesus and encourage us in our walk with him until he returns. Amen.
Amen.
Now, at the start of this year, we had an important event as a family. We had Thanksgiving for the life of Shirley Morris, which is my wife Kirsten, her mother. Some of you were there, and you'll remember that there was around about 400 people gathering together, which, when you think about it, is amazing. You kind of, you know, 400 people now would be like everyone would be in prison. But 400 people gathering and celebrating the life of a sister in Christ. And I do mean celebrating. Yes, there were tears. Yes, there was sadness. But there was an immense, immense joy, resounding peace. And many were struck by that sheer joy. And here's the thing that was it wasn't shocking, but it got me thinking. There were lots of Christians, people who trust in Jesus, who were there and who were struck by the sheer joy of it. And that's surprising for these, because of these words that we've just read. For Christians, death, yes, it's a sad occasion. We mourn those who have passed. But it is a joyful thing when we consider the death of a saint, a death of someone trusting in Jesus. There is a real peace and a deep joy. Dave, I don't know if you remember our standing agreement from when we've been to funerals in the past. I hope it still stands. That is that if I die first, DT is going to take my funeral. If he dies first, I'll take his. Because we don't want there to be any wrong, misplaced mourning. If I die, then I am in a place of joy and peace and happiness. And my brothers and sisters on the earth should be celebrating that. Yes, with tears. But it is a joyful thing. How can Christians have such confidence in the face of death? Well, obviously, it's a Sunday school question, isn't it? The answer is Jesus. Or a squirrel, if you know that joke. If you don't, ask me afterwards. I'll tell you later. But how can we have such confidence in the face of death? How does it work? Why can we have such joy at such sadness? How does faith in Jesus give us confidence when we're thinking about our own mortality? Why do we hold on to a 2,000-year-old moment in history as the reason for hope in the face of death? Now, here's why this matters. People, and this might include some of you guys, people are really fearful of death. Most people deny it or they don't want to think about it. Others come up with ways to superficially deal with their fears and move on, gloss over it, don't dwell on it too much. But here's the thing. This new national lockdown from Thursday, it once again brings our own mortality and death back into the forefront of people's minds. I had the privilege, if you don't know what I do, by the way, I run a charity called Video Bible Talks, and I also do video work for churches and ministries as well. And I had the joy of filming a guy called Rico Tice, who some of you will know. He's an evangelist, a pastor, and he's very aware of things in our culture and things like that. And he was saying, you know, back in March, when he was out on the street up in London, inviting people to come into church, it was as if people had their backs to him. Now, it's as if they're facing him and looking for answers. They're saying, okay, my world has been rocked, and you say you've got an answer, tell me. What answer can we give? And how does the way that we live match with the answer that we give? We're going to be considering some of these things this morning. Now, we're dropping into the middle of a book of the Bible, middle of the book of Hebrews. And so obviously we need to kind of, I need to give you the heads up of where we are in the book, what the context is. Hebrews, it's a book that sort of takes the sacrificial system of the Old Testament and it says, look, hey, this thing that was given to you by God, it was a good thing, but it was a foreshadowing. It was a model. It was a way of getting you ready to receive the real thing. It's a model of what was to come. And so in the book of Hebrews, it goes through how God speaks. It goes through how God deals with sin, how he gave animal sacrifices in a temple, in a physical temple, as a way of saying, look, this is what God is going to do. And the writer of Hebrews is really clear. He's saying, look, those things, those animal sacrifices, that earthly temple, it was a shadow. It had no substance to it. It didn't do anything. It was a pointer pointing forwards. The real deal, the substance, the actual thing that does something is Jesus. And his sacrifice on the cross for our sin. And his role as mediator, high priest, who brings us to God, is the real deal. That's how we can have sin forgiven. That's how we can enjoy a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's how we get to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I was trying to think of this. Thomas' children and my children. Did I ever mention the death machine or the room of death or the archway of death in Trailblazers? I was trying to remember this. So I used to teach these guys in Trailblazers. Sorry? You can't remember. That's fine. That's fine. That's good. That's good. Remember God's word. Don't worry about my babblings. Imagine a sort of a box, a bit like the TARDIS, if you know Doctor Who. Okay, imagine a box, right? And that is the box of death, okay? And the problem that humanity has is that day after day, people are going into this room and not coming out the other side. And the problem is that we desperately long to go through that box to the other side, because the other side offers peace and hope and life and joy and rest. But there is this barrier, there is this archway, there is this doorway, and we have no way of entering through and coming out the other side. But in history, there was a man who came and he declared, I will go through. And if you follow me, you will too. If you trust in me, then you too will go through. And that's exactly what he did. He went into the grave for 3 days. He was in that room, in that box, through that archway for 3 days. And then unlike others, like Lazarus, if you remember, Lazarus came back through the door he went in to die again. Whereas Jesus came through the other side. And he lives today. The other side of death. And I'm stealing one of DT's illustrations here. And like a train entering into a tunnel. All who trust in Jesus are joined, are connected, are united to him. And we get pulled along, if you like. We follow him through death. Shirley has gone through, Kirsten's mum, has gone through death. And she is awaiting her eternal life on the other side. And friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, then that is what awaits you too. And here's the big idea from these verses in Hebrews. Confidence. Because of Jesus, we have confidence. Jesus is our confidence to enter into God's presence, both here and now by faith, and on the last day in person. Now, it struck me, looking at that bit of Numbers, let me ask you a question. As you were reading that bit in Numbers, and as it was describing what would happen if the priest didn't do what God had said, if they didn't follow his stipulations, what would happen to them? Were you kind of thinking of these things, you know, the temple curtain and the veil and the through into God's holy place, as you would be okay if you were this side, but if you got it wrong on your way through, or if you got it, then that's the problem. That's somehow the object in the most holy place, or the veil itself, or whatever it was that was to do with that area, that symbol of God's presence. You were fine unless you went near that. Do you think like that? I know I do. That Aaron, the high priest, and all the other guys, they would have been fine if they stayed where they were. They would be fine. God says, "Go in, minister, serve." And here's how you're to do it. But if you get it wrong, that's the problem. And that's the wrong way of thinking, because the whole point is that most holy place is where there is no bad thing. That is, that's where God is. That's where life is. That's where peace is. That's where security is. That's where joy is. And every good thing. Out here is where the problem is. You see, don't think for one second that God's holiness that leads to our death if we draw near in the wrong way is the problem. It's not God's holiness. The problem is with us. And even if you distance yourself from God the Father and stay this side of the veil, you're still in danger, because you will die. And you will meet him. So please don't think that the problem lies with where God is, with drawing near to God. No, the problem is with us. And God says, "I want to deal with that problem. Draw near." And he has given us the way to do that. Did you see what difference Jesus' death and resurrection makes? The writer of Hebrews, he's painted this wonderful picture of Jesus paying for sin, of dealing with death, of resolving our relationship with the Father. And the crescendo comes, verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened us for us through the curtain," that is, through his flesh. "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, we have confidence." Friends, look at Jesus and see in him the way to life and peace and joy and comfort forever. And don't look at him, don't look at being in God's presence as a fearful thing anymore. With your sin still upon your own shoulders, it is a fearful thing, because God's holiness is amazing and our sin is the problem. But Jesus takes our sin upon himself and he gives us his righteousness. He clothes us with garments that are pure white. His blood washes every stain of sin from us. And with this white garment of righteousness, we are fully prepared with confidence to come into God's presence and say, "Hello, Father," and enjoy a relationship with him that starts now by faith and will one day continue physically in person. Jesus' blood and his body, can you see it there? It is the curtain. It is the way. It is how we get to pass through that box of death into God's presence. It's funny, isn't it, that we... I've often heard preachers say, you know, when Jesus died on the cross and the temple was torn in two, it's like the barrier was torn in two, the barrier of our sin. And that is right. And God, but God put a new curtain in place. The body of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And it is in him that you get to enter in without fear. It's no surprise that Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. He said, I am the gate that my sheep enter in. If you look at death and you would love to have a way to go through it with full confidence that you will end up in a place of peace and security with your Heavenly Father for all days, then you just need Jesus. And you just need to trust that that is exactly what he has done. So he is our confidence to enter into God's presence. And he is our high priest, our great priest who speaks to God on our behalf. What does that mean? Well, picture this. Jesus, having entered into heaven, having ascended into heaven after dying and rising again, he ascends to his Father's side, and he is now there with his Father in heaven, and he is interceding. That is, he is speaking for us on our behalf. He reminds God the Father, and I say reminds, it's not that God forgets, but so that we can kind of understand it, it's like he reminds God the Father that we are his. So every time we pray to our Father, we do so because Jesus is with our Father and we are in him by faith. We trust him. And I don't know if you think in pictures, I do. Whenever I pray, I kind of think of standing before God and talking to God. But I can only do that because Jesus has his arm around me and he has brought me into God's presence. Without Jesus, I don't deserve to be there at all. But I am in Christ. I am with Jesus. And I'm standing there talking to the Father because he is my priest who brings me to God. In every situation, every temptation, every struggle we have, Jesus is there praying for us to the Father. He's saying, Father, help them. Father, equip them. Father, give them perseverance. Father, bless them. Father, keep them. Every time we sin, we still sin, don't we? I hope there's nobody in here that thinks they're not a sinner. Someone who struggles with sin, that is. However, in Christ, we are declared sinners no more. And when we do sin, because we're stuck in this body of flesh still, Jesus reminds the Father, they are ours. He turns to Satan, the accuser, and says, you have no claim. Your accusations are false because their sin is on me and I've paid for it. It is done with. Your accusations have no power. You have no place here, Satan. Leave them alone. Father, they are ours. Do not pour your wrath out on them. Because you've already poured it out on me. Now, obviously, it's not that the Father is there going, oh, but I really want to pour my wrath out on them. It's not that. But can you see how it is right that God should pour his wrath out on sinners, but Jesus is there going, you've already done it, Father, on me. And so we're not going to pour our wrath out on them anymore because I've already paid for it. I've already taken it. Isn't that a great thing? A way into God's presence. a way of confidence, not of timidity or fear, but a way of boldness. I deserve to be here, not because of me, but because of Jesus. But I do deserve to be here. He has made a way, and I'm going to make use of that way. I'm going to come into God's presence. And somebody standing before the Father, interceding for you every second of every day until he returns. And his intercessions in that sense won't be necessary, because we will get to physically be with our Father. I hope that you can see that this is something that gives us great confidence, that Jesus is our great confidence before God. Let me just not presume anything. Is this your confidence? Is this your confidence? If not, then it's either because maybe you haven't considered faith in Jesus in this way, and you do trust him, but you've just not considered that actually your faith in Jesus is something that gives you great confidence in the face of death, and it gives you great confidence that Jesus is interceding on your behalf now. Then look over these words in Hebrews. Go home and read through the whole book of Hebrews. I'd really encourage it. It's a great book with lots to say about these things. But do have confidence, not in you, but in Jesus. But maybe you haven't considered this at all. Maybe you're hesitant to put your trust in Jesus for one reason or another. Maybe you've just not considered it. Maybe you're waiting to make your mind up. I mean this in the greatest respect, but what is stopping you? Somebody interceding on your behalf with the Father now, a way to draw near to God now, and a way to physically be in his presence without death for all eternity. To quote a Disney film, what is there a downside to this? Well, the only downside is you need to humble yourself to let go of your life and give it to Jesus. And in my opinion, that is not a downside at all. So what are we to do with this? Well, have a look, verse 22. Since we have this confidence, since we have a great high priest, draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What they're saying is, your trust is in Jesus. He is the one in whom you get to enter into God's presence. So do it. Draw near. Don't hold back. Run in. I've done summer camps in the past, and we on the last day of the last camp that we did, we put on this massive silent disco. Okay, if you don't know what silent disco is, everyone's got earphones on. You listen to music, and it's chaos, but it's amazing. It's brilliant. But we had this curtain, and we shielded it off, and everyone came in, kind of hesitant. You know, what's going on here? What's happening? And then the curtain went back and everyone rushed in. That is the kind of attitude we are to have with drawing near to God. Again, not because of us, but because of Jesus. But do draw near. You have, look at what we have. You have a true heart that is sprinkled clean from an evil conscience by the blood of Jesus. And you have an outward life. You have bodies washed with pure water. There is nothing stopping you from drawing near to God with boldness and confidence. So do it. And we do it by faith, in full assurance of faith. We are to think, yes, Jesus has done this, and so I am going to draw near because of him. What else? We are to hold fast. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Friends, what this is saying is that in Jesus, can you see, we have a great hope. And it's not a wishful thinking hope, like I hope the weather's going to be nice this afternoon. This is a certain hope. The kind of hope that is absolutely certain because of what has gone on in the past. It's the kind of hope of moving in to a house where the contract has been signed, the paperwork has been done, and you've just got to enjoy the moving in day. I say enjoy, you know what I mean. It's that kind of hope, that sure and certain hope. But it's a hope, again, that depends on Jesus. And so we can hold to that hope. We should hold fast to that hope without wavering, because there is no reason for wavering. Who does the hope depend on? Well, have a look. He who promised it. And what is he like? Faithful. So hold fast to our hope in Christ. Draw near to God in Christ. Hold fast to our hope in Christ. And lastly, consider one another in Christ. Have a look with me. Verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We get to love God, love others, and do good works because of Jesus. So don't give up these things. And instead, have a look around you. You don't need to do it now, but do look around you and look and think, how can I help that person to keep going with loving God and doing good deeds because of Jesus? Because the reality is that we're going to join together on the last day and enter into God's presence together. So why wouldn't you want to help one another as you journey to that last day? And that's why gathering together is important. And I'll leave David and the elders of churches to figure out the wisest way of doing that in the current situation. But the principle is, don't give up. And if you have to, as was earlier on in the year, if you have to stop physically meeting together, well then find other ways. Don't give up. Don't give up meeting together. That means that when on a Sunday, when your heart is heavy and the week has been wearying, it means remembering the hope you have, the great confidence you have. It means remembering where you are going, how you are getting there, and remembering, yes, I need to meet with my brothers and sisters because they need to encourage me and I need to encourage them. Because, can you see, we're to do this all the more as you see the day, that is the day of Jesus' return, drawing near. Friends, in the last minute or two, let me just bring this down to real life, okay? Because it is true that we get to do these things now by faith. We trust that Jesus has gone ahead of us. That we get to draw near by faith. We get to hold fast to the hope of life with him forever by faith. We consider how we can spur one another on by faith. But on that last day when Jesus returns, these things will become physical, in-person things that we do. We will literally draw near to God. We will literally see our hope before us. And we will literally be with one another, gathering together for all eternity. But sometimes it's hard to connect these big truths with everyday struggles, isn't it? So what difference does faith in Jesus, this confidence we have, make to the fact of everyday life when we're about to enter another lockdown? Well, it makes this difference. In Christ, you have confidence to enter God's presence. You have someone representing you before God. So draw near to God in Christ. Pray. Have peace. Ask for peace. Be not just assured, but reassured that you have great confidence, even in the face of the lockdown, even in the face of money struggles, even in the face of health issues. And so draw near to God in Christ by faith. Hold fast to that hope we have in Christ. There is, when you're going through hard times, one of the greatest things you can do is speak truth to yourself. And by all means, look like a fool as you sit there going, this is what I do. Don't call yourself Alan. That would be weird. Alan, you have a great hope in Jesus. He will not let you down. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you because he's already died for you on the cross, and you have a great confidence to enter God's presence. So don't give up. Hold fast. And repeat that. Say these truths to you over and over again. It's hard, isn't it, Kirsten? We went through a good couple of years of struggles. And sometimes, you know, in the evenings, saying these things to ourselves, reminding these truths to ourselves with tears. But we held fast. And I would encourage you to do the same. And consider one another. Look out for your brothers and sisters. What can you do to encourage them, even in their struggles, to keep going in love and good deeds, to not give up meeting together? Here's the rub. Here's where it makes the most difference. When we confront the reality of our death, or others ask us why we have such hope, such confidence, we can say, Jesus is my confidence. He is my confidence now in this life, and he is my confidence in death. Because in him I get to enter God's presence. And I do that both here and now by faith. And one day I will get to do that in person with my brothers and sisters. That's my confidence. And I trust it is yours too. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bit of the Bible. I thank you for the truths it gives us of our confidence in Jesus. Our confidence to enter in, to hold fast, and to consider one another. And I thank you, Jesus, that even now you are taking our prayers, you are taking our intercessions, you are pleading for us before the Father. What a great Saviour, High Priest you are. May we never forget it. Amen.
Thanks, Alan. We're going to turn to God in prayer now. Let's continue in prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks once again for this access that we have to come into your presence. Sons and daughters of the living God, as we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone, our only hope, our full confidence. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you not only invite us to come, you welcome us to come as children. You have announced that we belong in your presence as those washed clean from our sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a high priest who has once and for all offered a sacrifice for sin. He has given himself that we might know sin forgiven, that he has paid the price that our sin deserved, that we might be washed clean, and that there is therefore now no condemnation for those found in Christ Jesus. And therefore we may come. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would grant us that faith and belief, that we would not merely believe and assent to these things on a Sunday morning as we're gathered in church, but that we would believe and live by these truths as we go out into another week of worship, of living for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that the fact that Christ is our great salvation, that he is our high priest who has gone through that curtain to minister for us, and that by faith we are joined there with him even now. Oh, that, Lord, this would be our assurance and hope and confidence, and that it would make a difference. So often, Lord, we say that we believe your word, we believe your promises, and yet we know, Lord, that our actions, our decisions, they don't reflect the things that we say that we believe. Oh, Lord, we confess our weakness, and this morning we rejoice in his greatness, in his strength, in the work that he has done. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be those who draw near with an assurance of faith, that we would be those who hold fast to the confession of our hope, that we would be those who stir one another up to good works, that we would be those who do not neglect that meeting together with the body of the risen Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, even as we give thanks, therefore, for this access that we have, you long to hear our requests and our prayers. And therefore, Lord, we do pray for ourselves and for our nation and for our world. Lord, particularly we want to pray this morning for our government and those who have authority over us in civil matters. Oh, Lord, we want to pray and give you thanks for the government that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, that we do not live in a lawless society. Lord, we thank you that for many, many years you have given this nation a degree of stability in those who rule over us. But Lord, we want to pray for our Prime Minister Boris Johnson and for our government now in the circumstances they find themselves in. Lord, we want to pray for those that they're gaining understanding of the present circumstances from. Oh, Lord, may they grasp that role that they have been given, that position that they hold. It is a gift from your good hand. Oh, Lord, we pray that they would rightly feel the weight of it, but they would be quick, Lord, not only to give out their own instruction and rule, but they would be quick also to bow the knee to King Jesus. Lord, give them wisdom. We pray for our nation that you would have mercy upon us by giving wisdom and insight into our leaders. Lord, we pray for them this week in whatever further instruction comes out, in however it's seen that those instructions need to be managed. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom. Heavenly Father, we come to you, the one who has all authority. We come to you in the name of the one in whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, even the risen, ruling Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come as needy people, as his church. And Lord, we pray for wisdom. I do want to pray, Lord, for wisdom, for those that you have appointed to lead your word, your church under the word of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for elders, not just of this church, but elders up and down this length of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that you've given that responsibility to rule well over your people. Oh, may we remember, Lord, that you are the great shepherd of the sheep. May we not think for a minute that the church are our sheep, but rather yours. And Lord, we pray that we would rule in a way that shows your good and loving and tender careful rule over your sheep for your glory and for their eternal good. And Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the way in which you've kept us. We thank you for the way that you've kept us up until now. But Lord, we look to you to keep us in the future. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do not want to pray that you would simply keep us from death. But rightly, Lord, we pray that you would prepare us for this life and that death that awaits, which is a death for those in Christ, which is not without hope. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we live in the light of that coming day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, when the dead in Christ will rise. Oh Lord, give us a sight, give us that grasp of that new creation. And may we live as though that's where we belong. May our faith stretch to say, yes, that is what life is all about. Christ ruling over his people. Oh, give us wisdom, we pray, as individuals, as a church, to care for one another and to point one another to these glorious truths. Oh Lord, we pray for those around us who have no hope in the face of death. Lord, we pray for the people in the homes around this hall. Pray for our neighbours, pray for friends, pray for work colleagues, even for family members. Oh Lord, have mercy upon them, we pray. Oh, may your gospel lights so shine in their hearts that they might come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Hear our prayers, Lord. Oh Lord, we thank you that this morning we're not merely meeting together. We're not merely trying to encourage one another and pep one another up with our own strength. Oh Lord, we meet in the name and in the presence of the living God, that you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will meet with us also. And so we ask, Lord, that you will hear our prayers and that you will accept them, because we ask all of our prayers in that name which is above every name, in that name which is precious, in that name which has power. Power even over sin and Satan and death. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.